Hi, this is Julie.
This is Liz.
This is Sheila.
This is Monica.
This is Leanne.
We are the Satellite Sisters.
You are listening to Satellite Sisters to Go.
You are listening to Satellite Sisters. Welcome to the show. It's Sunday, March 8th. It's International Women's Day. So, of course, we would like to wish the entire Satellite Sisterhood internationally and nationally a fantastic International Women's Day. I'm in Pasadena, California. I'm here with three of my sisters. Julie Dolan is back in Brooklyn. Julie, glad to have you here with us.
I'm happy to be here. I'm reporting today from Heather's Yoga Palace, and I'll be talking about that in a bit.
Okay. All right. Liz Dolan, you are in Santa Monica, California. Is it International Women's Day every day of the year there in Santa Monica?
It kind of is. It's such an easy life. But did you know that the International Women's Day theme this year, Leanne, is Make It Happen?
Like, oh, that's a good one.
They're all about the enough already with awareness. Now we just have to start. It's all about action this year, which we support.
Sheila, you making it happen there in South Pasadena?
I'm making some coffee happen. Is that making it happen? Yes. Well,
baby steps for you, Sheila. Baby steps. All right. We have a full show today. Sheila has a parent-teacher conference in the middle of the show. That doesn't usually happen. But we're going to start with my trip to Washington, D.C. for the International Women of Courage celebration. Then we're going to get to Sheila's big story on getting someone else's mail. So that, stay tuned for that. Julie's back in Brooklyn. She's going to give us an update on the Urban Nana situation. And Liz has a TV recommendation.
Yes. On the positive side, because a lot of TV is scary, you know. So positive TV recommendation. But first, I want to remind people that the podcast awards are going on right now. Satellite Sisters, we're very excited to be nominated in the general category. And you can vote every day between now and March 24th. We're going to try not to bug you too much. But, you know, people need a little reminder. And you just go to podcastawards.com. You can find us in the general category. There are lots of other great podcasts from people we recommend all the time on those lists too. So vote around, then they send you an email and you just have to verify your vote. So go for that. Meanwhile, as long as you're online, make sure you like our Facebook page. And if you have something you want to say yourself, you should join our Facebook group, because anything goes over there on the Facebook group. And if you want to follow us on Twitter, we are at Sat Sisters. You can follow us at Sat Sisters. And I'm actually going to Vegas for the Podcast Awards, sisters. I just decided.
I think that's so funny.
I haven't been to Vegas in like 20 years. So it's just not my thing. But last night I went online and I bought tickets to the Beatles Cirque du Soleil show. That's the only thing I can think of that I actually want to do in Las Vegas. So if there are other suggestions, please feel free to post them online.
Okay.
Things I should do in Vegas.
Imagine you walking up and down the street going.
That's been a wild time.
I'm looking forward to it. Next month, you know. Okay. Anyway, so Leanne, speaking of Twitter, you were live tweeting this amazing International Women of Courage event that you were part of this week. It was very fun to read your tweets, but I could sense like it was kind of a big deal what was going on there.
It really was, Liz. I had no idea. I stumbled into this event planning committee. A friend of mine is the chair here. It's part of a larger organization called the American Women for International Understanding, but they were handpicked by the State Department 9 years ago to put on events for the International Women of Courage. Now, the women themselves come from all over the globe, and they're picked by the State Department. They're nominated by their embassies in their home country for the important work that they're doing on behalf of women and children there, and then the State Department sifts through literally hundreds and hundreds of nominations to handpick these 10 women. And then these women are brought to the United States for about 2 weeks. They come to D.C. They come to our event where it's very it's warm and it's informal and they're celebrated. We're able to give them grant money. That's what we do. Our committee raises money thanks to many great corporate sponsors like Deloitte and National Geographic and U.S. News and World Report. We raise enough money to give them substantial grants that they can take back to their home country to continue their work. We also give out some awards. awards that night ourselves to American Women. And then they go to an official ceremony at the State Department the next day that's usually presided over by the Secretary of State. And in the past, the First Ladies, first Laura Bush and then Mrs. Obama have been part of this event. And then they go off to various parts of the United States to meet with other people who may be helpful for their work. And then they all meet up at the UN in New York. So they have a busy 2-week period.
Wow.
And we're just a little part of it. But it was very exciting because they only, because of security concerns, the State Department only releases the name of the women less than 24 hours before the event. And our group puts on a small event. It's 200 people. The women come. We gave an internationalism award to journalist Lori Garrett, who writes. It was really exciting because it's small, Julie, and it's informal. And we have all kinds of ambassadors there. We have actual ambassadors, like the ambassador to Kyrgyzstan was with us this year, unbelievably. And the U.S. ambassador on global women's affairs, Catherine Russell from the State Department, gives out the awards. We had all kinds of press there. But mainly we just get to actually sit and talk to the women about their work. And it's an incredible list, of course, and it's super varied. You know, women, we had the first female Afghan Air Force pilot was with us. She was a young woman, probably in her late 20s. She had flown fixed-wing fighters. And then, of course, she had been drummed out of Pakistan or Afghanistan by threats to her family. So her complete family is in hiding because people who don't want women flying jets were up there, scaring her family away. We had sitting at my table was a 28-year-old journalist from Bangladesh. She had been working on a story about a series of killings done by an extremist group, and they nearly beat her to death, this group. And instead of her employer supporting her and paying her medical bills, they fired her. They fired her. Nothing was ever happened to the men, and she's been through 4 operations to fix the things that happened to her.
Oh, wow.
I know. It's just every woman has a story like that. From Bolivia, we had a longtime lawyer and legal advocate who's been supporting the prosecution of rapists and sexual assault perpetrators there in that country under much duress. We had a woman from Central African Republic who was a nurse, but also one of the first people in the country to get and survive Ebola. And she has been an ad. I know, Sheila. I know. She's been an ad.
It's been very humbling.
It is very humbling, Julie. Yes. When you start to think like, and I was complaining about having to go to Trader Joe's for an emergency tulip run earlier in the day.
It does put things in perspective. That is true.
I mean, we even had a woman from Japan. You know, it doesn't necessarily have to be an impoverished country. A woman from Japan who's been on the front lines of fighting for workplace equality in Japan, which has been such an issue that the government's raised it this year. So it was quite an incredible group. And it's funny you should say that because one of the women that got the awards, the American woman, talked about how she's a privileged woman and then just listed like, because I don't get beaten, because I was able to go to school, because I could vote. And it was very emotional. Like everybody in the audience was nodding, like, we just don't even understand in this country sort of how privileged we are, no matter who we are, just because we have these basic human rights. But it sounds kind of dark, but it was all feel good. It was all our table was cheering and hooting and hollering when they announced all the names and read all the biographies. So it was really fantastic. And then we got 1 million photos taken.
Yes, I got an email from my colleagues at National Geographic who were seated with you, Leanne,
yes,
that not only did they love the event, but that you are a hoot. So that's good. In the midst of all of this despair, that you can still be a hoot.
Well, thank you for representing the Satellite Sisters so well, Liam.
Thank you very much. Yeah, it was really something. I felt really privileged and honored to be there. I don't really participate in events like this very often, and I'm usually, if I go, I'm hired to be, you know, not hired. I volunteer to be the MC or something. So it was really great to sort of sit in the audience and listen to these stories and be a part of this. And no, we're just a small committee. It's 8 people on the committee. community. It's 200 women in the group, but we are going to make a substantial financial difference to these women when they go back to their countries to continue their work. That was a great feeling. I got like, okay, I got the tulips at Trader Joe's and we're giving them this great money. That's going to make the difference. And I got a lot of cards and stay in touch with some of the younger, we had a journalist from Kosovo there who also very brave, had been threatened and risked her personal safety to tell the story there. And she spoke and it was incredible. One funny thing though, one of the, Lori Garrett she was speaking about infectious diseases all over the world. Again, not exactly a feel good topic, but she's such a rousing speaker and has been writing about infectious diseases like Ebola for 15 years, long before it was on anyone's radar. And she talked about her work this fall in Liberia and Sierra Leone and how we need to treat the microbe and not discriminate against the people. And people were like yelling and cheering and she got a standing ovation at the end of it. And I was trying to tweet it out all live. And I realized I don't really type that fast.
Live tweeting is hard.
It's so much pressure, Liz. I had no idea.
I was just, whatever came from you, Leanne, I was just retweeting it.
Thank
I figured
you.
That was all I really needed to do.
Thank you. So I don't know where I started with that sentence, but all I can say is it was just a really special evening and I was very glad to be a part of it. And then we were meant the next day to go to the official State Department ceremony where Secretary of State speaks and the First Lady speaks, and it snowed and they canceled the official ceremony. I can't tell you how bummed I was. I mean, first of all, I had bought the red trench coat and I was going to look good. And
you were going to have a power look at the State Department, Leanne. We discussed it ahead of time. I was really looking forward to seeing the pictures. It's crushing.
Yeah. I heard the Ben Franklin room where they have the reception is unbelievably beautiful. A lot of great antiques and that the food was really good. So, get to see the First Lady and the Secretary of State. But, I couldn't believe it. It was just the whole federal government was shut down. So, and then they did a quickie reception on Friday afternoon at the last minute, but I had to get on a plane. So I could not go. But I was happy to have my brush with these really courageous women. It is inspiring. It gives you a sense of perspective in the work you're doing and how hard it is for some women. But there was just a common theme, like we are all in this together, which is, you know, kind of the Satellite Sister theme. So we were very happy to be the official sponsors there, the media partners, and it was fantastic. So I definitely will go back next year if they'll have me.
And guess what? The red trench coat. Nobody's seen it, Leanne. So you can wear it next year.
But I enjoyed it.
Liz, summer is coming up, and you know what that means? It means you're grilling. You're grilling and chilling there with your butcher box. What do you got going on the grill this summer?
Well, you know, here's the thing. Because I'm going to be up in Bend for a part of the summer, I'm having my box sent there, Leanne.
That's great.
Go on vacation with your butcher box is what I'm recommending. Yeah, either way, you're just going to buy meat and fish and stuff when you get there. Why do that? Anyway, I love their steaks. I love their scallops. The scallops are really good. And the chicken thighs, all good. I'm ready.
That's right. ButcherBox gives you peace of mind and easy to find high quality meat and seafood you can trust. It's 100% grass-fed beef, free-range organic chicken, pork that's raised crate-free, and wild-caught seafood. No antibiotics or added hormones. And as Liz said, delivered right to your doorstep. And you can customize that delivery plan, Liz, right? Because it can go wherever you want it to go, whenever you want it to go. If you want to delay it a week, you know, speed it up a week, you just go to your ButcherBox account and you can make that all happen.
It's so easy to manage online.
Yeah. And if you're like Liz, you can take your ButcherBox on vacation, which is... That's nice to have something familiar there.
Yes.
So if you want to take your meat on vacation, sign up at butcherbox.com/sisters and get our special deal. ButcherBox is offering our listeners a free for a year offer plus an additional 20% off. So you can choose salmon, chicken breast, or steak tips free in every order for a year. Sign up today at butcherbox.com/sisters and use code SISTERS to choose your free for a year offer plus Get $20 off your first order. Thanks, ButcherBox. Liz and Leanne here, and we are so grateful to have Osea support Satellite Sisters. Why? Because it's just a great product. Holy cow, do we love Osea's skin and body care. And you know what? This Mother's Day, just look no further than Osea. Spoil the moms in your life with the little luxuries from Osea. The moms, the stepmoms, the bonus moms, the people who bring a touch of something special to your life, aunts, grandmothers, they would love a little Osea this Mother's Day. And you can get 10% off your first order by using our code SATSISTERS at OseaMalibu.com. And Liz, you know what every mother and mother figure needs?
What?
More moisture, Liz. They need more moisture in their skin.
I mean, really, the creams, the lotions, the oils, I love it all. That duo they have going, like, you can't miss with the duo of Osea.
Liz, the mega moisture duo, yes. you can literally see your skin get firmer, and it just delivers this full body glow. Okay, you know, we have raved about the Undaria algae body oil. Mm-hmm. Well, pair that with the Undaria collagen body oil. Youthful, yeah. Liz, your youthful, yeah, glow is going to happen. And it's infused with Osea's signature Undaria seaweed. So it just smells so delicious, doesn't it?
I know you're talking about giving it as a gift. I also suggest just giving it to yourself because you're worth it.
That's true. That is absolutely true. Okay, that moisture duo I mentioned too is a great value because you can save 16% plus the extra 10% with our code SAD Sisters. So this is it. This is a win-win-win Mother's Day gift. Spoil the moms in your life with clean vegan skincare and body care from Osea. Get 10% off your first order site-wide with the code SAD Sisters at OseaMalibu.com. And you get free samples in every order and free shipping on orders over $60. Osea is spelled O-S-E-A. So head on over to OseaMalibu.com and use code SATSISTERS for 10% off. Thanks, Osea.
You did post some funny photos of you on the National Mall in your, like, furry hooded coat, whatever you bought, yeah, a down coat. So we're going to hear about your snow, yeah, day later in the show.
Yes,
right?
I will tell you what I did on my snow day. I've been pining away for one, but that will come later because Sheila has this parent teacher conference in the middle of the show.
Oh, I just feel like an ant on the sidewalk right now. I mean, listening to those women, you know, listening to your travels, Leanne. No, there's not a lot going on, except I am in the middle of parent teacher conferences, and it's gone are the days where you did all your conferences in one day. Now it's spread out over several weeks. Wow. So they begin early and they end late. But that's okay. Yeah, not a lot has been going on. But I did mention to you girls that I think I've gotten on somebody else's mailing list. And it started with that beautiful new catalog called Poetry, which I posted about.
You did? I had never even heard of that. What is that?
It's basically linen and chambray. It's 20-year-old women wearing simple linen dresses that I have to say none of us could wear. Long, long, thin necklaces with rocks on the bottom, uh-huh, that type of thing.
Yeah.
Spray on tans, and they all average a lot of gray, a lot of white, and a lot of black. Uh-huh. So that's poetry. So that arrived. And then I got some other curious mail, which the first notice I got was really depressing. I thought to myself, where's the time between you're pre-approved for AARP and the time you're pre-approved for a cremation? Like,
that window is closing?
Where did that go? Because I got a notice from the Neptune Society.
Oh. Wow.
I could win a prepaid cremation. And...
Oh, that's kind of a good news story, Sheila. I guess.
It's simple, it's economical, and it's dignified. Uh-huh. And it just makes sense. That's what they said with the wonderful quote from Eleanor Roosevelt, "Yesterday is history, tomorrow is a mystery, and today is a gift." That is why they call it the present. But why would they have that quote on a cremation ad? That's, you know, I want to stay in the present. I do not want to think about my cremation right now, because I'd rather live in poetry. Like, really. Yes.
The dream world.
I'd rather live in poetry. So that came. And then, speaking of international women, I got a pre-approved International Society of Professional Women card, which, again, I think it's somebody else's mail I'm now receiving. I think it's someone, maybe an Earth Mother type, who's much older and much more successful. I'm getting a lot of new mail, and I'm looking forward to getting more. You know, who knows?
This is exciting, because for a while there, as we've discussed, you weren't getting any mail at all. You lost your mail key, and for several months, you got nothing.
Yes. Yes, that is a good point, Liz. So, looking forward to seeing what's coming next, what other end-of-life issues I could deal with, and what I could look like as I go. I mean, it's just, it's all coming through the mailbox. So anyway, that was going on. And then I always mention when I go to the doctor, but this week was very exciting at my doctor's office. So I went for my physical, my yearly physical. And I don't know what possessed me to make a physical appointment on a Friday afternoon at 3:45. I mean, that, after teaching all week, that's really not a good time to go for your physical. But the good news is, by the time I got there, I was so tired that when you lie down on the bed there and they start examining, I just said to my doctor, "Do whatever you want. I'm just gonna lie here
because this feels nap.
This feels really good."
Was the exam table heated?
No, it was my doctor. So, but before I got to my appointment, walking into the medical office, I noticed there was a big photo shoot going on. I thought, maybe they're taking their new photos and they've hired a professional photographer. And I walk in and I notice that everything's kind of amped up in my doctor's office. And it's a very, very small office, the San Marino office. It's tiny, and I love it. And all the doctors are there, and my GP is there. But then I noticed the office manager is making the rounds, and everybody's heavily made up. And then, as I was sitting there slumped over in a chair waiting for my physical, a very attractive, I'd say late 40s gentleman walked over to me and introduced himself as the CEO of my medical office. Oh. And stood up at attention, because for me, this is like meeting my personal president. I mean,
true. This is a person who has a lot of impact on your life.
I stood up. He said, "Oh, no, sit down, sit down." He said, "I'm so-and-so. I'm the CEO of this medical foundation, and I just want to introduce myself." And I just was all over that. I mean, that was wonderful. So we had some moments. He asked me some questions. I told him all about my doctor and how much I love it here.
Was he single? Was he single?
The first thing I looked for was a ring. There's no ring. He was just listening, Julie, intently. And then he said, "Do you have any complaints?" And I was actually fishing for complaints because I wanted to keep him there. I said, "Well, sometimes when I go to the dermatology office," and he wasn't listening at that point, but it didn't matter. And everybody, you know, so I walked in, when I walked in and got my blood pressure taken, I asked around. I said, "Is he single?" "Is the CEO of your medical office single?" And they said yes. Oh. So it was it turned out to be a good day at my doctor's office. My numbers weren't great, but I met the CEO and he's single.
Yeah, so I assume at that point your blood pressure was elevated just from meeting him.
It was a little flush.
A little heart palpitations going on there, Sheila. Yeah.
I said, "Could you please take my blood pressure after we talk? Because I'm a little excited right now." but yeah, so that's basically it. And
your life would totally change with your own. It would be like having your own medical concierge, which is, you spend a lot of time on that yourself.
I do. And I gave everyone rave reviews. They had a lot of cards that you needed to fill out that day. Everybody was on their best behavior. So it was just a surprise ending to a long week. Yes.
Wow.
Congratulations.
So do you see yourself, Sheila, will you be doing some follow-up appointments? Just hanging out in the waiting room, perhaps?
I am. I scheduled a follow-up. Yes. I scheduled a follow-up. My doctor wants to see me more often. So that's it. Yeah. And we'll see what happens. But it's great to talk to you. I'm off to a parent-teacher conference. And thanks for letting me be part of the show, girls.
Okay. Good luck with your parents.
Post it on the mail.
Okay. Yeah. Thank you.
Okay.
I feel like we just had a celebrity on this show. Right. So, what do you think, sisters?
I'm glad she could squeeze us in, though.
Hey, well, it's Julie here. I mentioned at the start of the show, I'm at Heather's Yoga Palace. Actually, that's the apartment very close to my son and daughter-in-law's where I am staying. I'm back here in Brooklyn to do some more childcare. Their childcare situation has not fully gelled yet, and they needed Urban Nana on the scene. Now, I call it Heather's Yoga Palace because the apartment I'm staying in, the woman is Heather, and she loves all things yoga and Indian. So it has a lot of yoga mats, yoga Indian statues, and it seems like a perfect place for Urban Nana.
Nice.
But I'm back. I'm enjoying it. So, but this week, Urban Nana has a nightclub recommendation for you. Now, I know you usually don't get that from Urban Nana, but I have one.
Surprising.
I had to go out this week, the night of the snowstorm, in fact. My husband was here in town, and we were meeting some friends from Russia that were in New York and wanted to go to the Blue Note Club to hear some jazz. Now, I don't know if Liz, former New Yorker, if you've ever been there. Do you know
this? Yeah, that's like a classic jazz club. It's been around forever. It's one of the most famous jazz clubs in the village, right?
Yes, and I think our dad used to go there. Mm-hmm. But for Urban Nana, after a long day of childcare, the idea of going to a jazz club, I was like, oh, brother, I'm going to be out, till 4 in the morning. But here are two good things. Number one, we saw a fantastic jazz quartet, Ron Carter Quartet. Now, you might know him. He's probably one of the most famous bass players in this country. I mean, he's played with Miles Davis, B.B. King, Tommy Flanagan, Gil Evans, Lena Horne. He's like 80 years old. I mean, but he is amazing. And he and his quartet, it was just, I mean, it was fantastic. But the other good thing about the Blue Note Club is they have two showings. So we went to the early showing, which started at 8 o'clock at night. See, I thought we were going to have to like wait till like 10 or 11 to hear the music. But we were in our seats at 7:30 in this nightclub, and it was all over by 9:30. And I managed to hear a Grammy Award-winning, top of his game, fantastic jazz quartet, and I was back in my yoga palace by 11 o'clock at night.
That's ideal timing.
This is it. So if you're like me and we're a little afraid of like going to a jazz club, check this place out. I mean, it had plenty of international people. I know it's kind of it may be touristy, but Ron Carter's not tour. He's no tourist trap. I mean, he is like real deal. And his quartet, everyone was so outstanding. So it's a fun night for other Urban Nanas that might be out there.
Early bird jazz.
I am not embarrassed, Liz and Leon. I mean, maybe you two would be. I was delighted.
No, no.
They make you get out of your seat at 9:30, quarter of 10. You can't stay in that nightclub unless you want to pay for the second show. Whew. That was a good night.
That's good. Well, for my Beatles tickets in Las Vegas that I was buying, I had a choice between the 7 p.m. show and the 9:30. I went for the 7.
Okay.
Oh, that's embarrassing.
Well, I figure we'll go out after that for dinner, Leah. That was my thought process. So anyway.
Okay, so not the early bird dinner then.
No, not dinner before the 7 p.m. show. I thought if we're out on the strip at 9:30, that would be exciting, right?
Yes.
Lee, right. There were plenty of young people at this first showing too. So I mean, I didn't, you know, but it wasn't all old people.
I think 8 o'clock is respectable. Eight is a respectable hour. You don't have to be ashamed about 8 p.m. 8 o'clock is respectable.
Oh God! Well, that snow in Brooklyn—that's what hit you, DC too, Leon, right?
Yeah, a lot of snow. Yeah, fun. Oh, do you want me? Is Julie staying on? I'm sorry, that was my cue.
I'm staying with you. You know, we've had some technical difficulties, and we weren't certain. So, this is a short report this week from Urban Nana, just to say it's going fine. But yes, I was in the snow. I posted a picture where I think I have become Mary Poppins. I don't know. I bought some hat. It's my friends talked me into this hat, but it looks like Mary Poppins' hat. I don't know. I mean, maybe that's why I bought it, because the shape was familiar, and I thought, oh, I like that. I don't know.
Plus, you're kind of carrying like the big Mary Poppins bag in the photo. So
kind of
it was the total look. Have an umbrella over your head.
Yes.
So you nailed it. The look, you nailed it.
Well, in DC, we had snow. We had our event Wednesday night. So it started to snow Thursday morning. And, I had a few things to take care of in the morning, but then I wanted to get out. Once they canceled the State Department ceremony, I had nothing to do and no place to go. And almost every flight was canceled out of DC. I wasn't going to get home any sooner. I had a flight on Friday night. So I thought, okay, well, this is my big shot. You know, I haven't been to Washington, D.C. since I was in college.
Really? Wow, it's like me in Vegas.
It's true. We had flown in once for a work event where we just flew in. We did the event. It was like, remember that? A radio conference or something?
It was a public radio program director's conference, as I recall.
Okay. And then we flew out. And so I never got to do anything, drive around the monuments or anything. So there's so much on the mall I have not seen, like the Vietnam Memorial, the World War II Memorial. Really?
Quite a bit's happened, Leanne.
I know. Like at one point I walked past the White House and I was like, I don't think I've ever walked past the White House before. I mean, remember, I was in college and Monica was like 25. So we weren't doing a lot of historical touring. Like I would go to visit her.
We left you home for the family trip.
Yes.
To Washington.
So,
you didn't make that. Yeah.
No. So there's a lot of like basic sites I missed out on. So it really kind of surprised me when we walked past the White House. Our hotel was on Pennsylvania Avenue, but much further down. I was like, oh, well, there's the White House. Okay. All right.
Kind of sneaks up on you.
So I headed out. It was, you know, 30 and blowing and snowing. They got 9 inches that day, snowing pretty hard. But I headed out. I had brought my snow boots. I got the down coat shortly before I left, the practically free down coat with the fake hood fur. I had my beret. I had several layers on. I had gloves. And I headed out for like a 3.5 hour trek in the snow. I walked all the way down past the White House. I walked to the Washington Monument. I was like, there were like a dozen people on the National Mall total. Like the government was completely shut down. There weren't any guards. There was very few people doing anything. There were some people shoveling snow. But then I just like schlepped down that mall and I saw the World War II Memorial, which is kind of grand. And I'm sure it's prettier when the water's in it. I don't know. I thought the friezes were very pretty, but I don't know. Didn't thrill me, but it's very grand there. And then the reflecting pool, that was drained, of course, and it didn't matter because it was snowing so hard. Then I saw the Vietnam Memorial, which is a very moving memorial. Maybe you've heard. I don't know.
No, it's one. It is very moving. You're right. That's why people love it.
It's so simple, and it was even more dramatic, covered in snow, the black marble coming through, and the Korean War Memorial. Monica certainly never took me to see that, I can tell you that. And then we got to the I got to the Lincoln Memorial, and that's the only one that's kind of open, which was fortunate because they had some nice bathrooms in the bottom. And then, but, you know, the Lincoln Memorial, that is marble steps, many, many marble steps, and going up them in the snow, I thought, oh my God, I'm going to die right here in the Lincoln Memorial.
I think it'd be a perfectly fine place to die, though. Like, if you're going to go, it'd be very dramatic.
We could do a very nice eulogy, Lynn, you know, that she died on the steps of the Lincoln Memorial. I can see it now.
So I managed to get to the top. I was like, whoo. And that, again, it's really touching. The Lincoln Memorial, it just gives you chills, especially when there are only two other people in the place because there was no one there. And they were French. So it's just so dramatic. And then I like very carefully walked down the Lincoln Memorial steps and then I trudged back through. I knew I had my new phone, girls. And I have to say, it's fantastic. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. I felt like an idiot. I hadn't upgraded my technology before, but I didn't want to use the GPS. I just wanted to trudge through. Unfortunately, Washington, D.C. has many fine signs that get you places to the White House, the National Mall, the archives, the Smithsonian, all over town. There are plenty of signs for people like me. So I walked right through the campus of GW, which is a really cool kind of urban school. Very nice. And then found my hotel again. I was exhausted. I felt like I had done the Iditarod or something.
You've been talking about how much you miss snow all winter long. And nobody really wanted to hear that from Leon Dolan in Pasadena, California, about how much you miss snow. But now that you've had a little snow event, I'm happy for you. But then you got to fly back to sunny California. So
yes. Well, I got back in, I had a quick lunch, and Julie, I turned it right back around and I went trudging into Georgetown. I was like, and everything was shut down in Georgetown. There wasn't a single store open. Everything, no employees had showed up. It was really a blizzard for them. And that was beautiful, like seeing Georgetown, the charming streets and everything just covered in snow and there were no cars. And I was out for another 2 hours. I felt like I really did it. Now, the next day, I could literally barely walk. I was so sore. I got out of the cab at a friend's house and she's like, are you okay? I was like, I'm fine. I just trudged around for 5 hours in the snow.
That's what an Iditarod will do for you with no training. That pool training is not going to help you for that.
Oh, it did not. It did not, Liz. And then when what I liked was the other ladies in our committee from Pasadena, what did they do in the snow day? They stayed in the hotel room and they played bridge. So that's what they did. But I was happy to see it. DC is a great city. And you know, the thing about DC is you kind of feel like it's your city. You don't feel like a foreigner, even though I was not that familiar with it. I felt like, oh, this is all very familiar. This is my town. It's a great town. So I really, really enjoyed my stay. And then when I did a little college tour of American University the next day, and met a friend and then hopped back on the plane. But I really enjoyed it. Love to come back anytime.
So next year, if you go back and it's not snowing, you might be able to get into some of the museums and get inside some of these places that were all locked up.
Or stores or anything. Yes. But I feel like I did have this epic one-day journey around Washington, D.C. Am I never going to get to go in these places, Liz?
Maybe that is just your fate in life. Maybe that's it.
That is
your destiny.
Oh, it just made me laugh walking past the White House. For God's sakes, it's the White House.
Doesn't it strike you? Does it seem smaller than you thought?
Yes.
Yeah, that's what I think every time I see the White House. I mean, it's a beautiful, beautiful home, but it looks like a home with a few buildings attached to it. But it's not some big honking palace the way
California home. I mean, you have much bigger homes in California. We do.
That's true, Julie. Yes. It's not some Texas size home.
No, we got much bigger places. Yeah, right around the block. So but it's a fine place, Lee. So good for you.
All right. And then I had two movie, it was on the plane. I watched two of the plane movies. And normally I don't watch the plane movies, but because it hurts my neck to look up, so I'm short. But I had good seats for the plane movies this time, and I had a new headset for my new phone, so I decided to go for it. So I know we are well past the Academy Awards, so this commentary may or may not be relevant at all. But I happened to see two movies about abusive coaches and their charges, and they were both disturbing in their own way. I saw Whiplash on the way out. about the maniacal music teacher and his jazz drummer protege. And then I saw Foxcatcher on the way home, which was about the crazy wrestling coach and the abusive relationship he had with an Olympic gold wrestler, and then ultimately shooting that guy's brother. I'm telling you, have you seen either one of those movies? They were both so disturbing. Didn't you find that, Julie? Like,
yes,
really,
I did. No, they're
disturbing.
Both haunting. Foxcatcher is a very haunting, disturbing movie. It's well done. Steve Carell is excellent in it, but it is the opposite of feel good, Leon.
I mean,
it's sort of stunning.
And I have not seen Whiplash. I haven't seen Foxcatcher, but I've seen Whiplash, and that is, yes, very sort of shocking and dark. I liked it, though, for what it was. It was so intense, but I don't see it as an airplane movie.
I know. I don't know what either one of those movies were doing on the airplane. It was like they put the wrong tape on the plane. Where was Big Hero 6? Like we were promised, Liz. Where was it? All I know is that Whiplash, I had so much anxiety watching that movie. I felt terrible at the end of that movie. And I would just like to say to the Academy, I know J.K. Simmons was excellent, and I know Steve Carell was excellent, but I didn't understand why the young boy didn't get nominated.
Yeah.
I thought and the same with Channing Tatum. I thought Channing Tatum in Foxcatcher was unbelievably good. Like, I thought he was fantastic. So those are two movies I cannot recommend. But, they're very intense. And
well, people might be flying in the next couple of weeks, Leon, and those movies will be on airplanes. So you're doing a public service by letting people know that they should just read a book.
Well, I was thinking that Whiplash would be a good movie, you know, to rent and have the boys watch, because it would be like, oh, just try hard and do your best. No, it's not that at all. Like the poor kid is like bleeding most of the time in the movie because he is drumming so hard to get the approval of this completely crackpot teacher.
Yeah.
I couldn't believe how intense those movies were. So, and I would just like to give my own Academy Award to the young men who played the victims in those movies. They were fantastic. So there you go.
But, well, now that Julie is such a jazz aficionado.
Yes.
I'll take you to my nightclub. Next time you're in the city, you can come with me. I know a place down in the Village.
Hey, it's Liz and Leanne here, and we want to thank PROS for supporting this episode of Satellite Sisters. Now, you know, Liz, I've been out and about with my new book, The Marriage Sabbatical. The book is getting rave reviews. I'm very happy. But you know what else is getting rave reviews? My hair, Liz. My hair from PROS is getting rave reviews.
Leanne, I am not surprised. You have been on that PROS hair regimen for quite a while. I mean, you have good hair anyway, but now you have great hair because you've really paid attention to it.
Well, Liz, PROS is made for people, not hair and skin types. Personalization is rooted in everything they do, from their in-depth consultation to their made-to-order model. And you know what? I love the regimen they have me on. Do I take the hair vitamins every day? Yes, I do. Do I use my shampoo and conditioner made especially for Leanne Dolan? Yes, I do. I sometimes use the leave-in conditioner when my hair's really dry? I do. And I even have a pre-scalp thing that they give me. Okay, PROS, you're the boss. I'll take it. You tell me what my hair needs. That sounds good. And here's the thing. It's personalization, Liz. For millions of possible formulas, only one is uniquely Leanne's. Okay? And I'm using it. PROS isn't just better for you. It's also better for the planet, Liz. They're a certified B Corp, cruelty-free, and the first and only carbon-neutral custom beauty brand. So, PROS, we love you. I love the photos of my hair. Couldn't be happier.
Photos of your hair. There are people in the photos, too. That's the thing about a book tour. Everybody has their picture taken with Leanne and then post it. So the hair is important.
Couldn't be happier, PROS. PROS is so confident that you'll bring out your best hair and skin. They're offering an exclusive trial offer of 50% off your first subscription order at pros.com/sisters. So you get your free consultation, then 50% off at pros.com/sisters. And PROS is spelled PROSE, pros.com/sisters. Thanks, PROS. Liz, you know we love talking about Framebridge, don't we?
We do. Because there are just so many fun things to frame, Leanne, aren't there?
Right. Anything. You can just upload a digital photo from your phone and they can print it and frame it. And that is a gift right there, a gift people would love getting. But Liz, you recently had quite an exciting Framebridge experience. Would you like to share? Would you like to?
You know, I talked about how when we were at the Bruce Springsteen concert, I was with our brother Dick, his wife Susan, his two kids, and one of the roadies threw us the set list at the end of the show, which was amazing to get the actual set list for the actual concert in Los Angeles. And we're like, oh, yeah. Any day now, that's going to be in a place of honor in their home. Sure enough, Leanne, they have already frame-bridged it and sent it to us with a picture. So I'll be in Bend next week, so I'll get to see it. But it's just excellent use of the Framebridge resources, the Bruce Springsteen set list.
Fantastic. And this is gift-giving season. So if you have a graduation coming up, a wedding, a shower, Mother's Day, Father's Day, look around. I'm sure you have something fun you can frame, and Framebridge can do it for you. It's easy and it's affordable to frame just about anything. You get fair and transparent upfront pricing based on the size of your item. There's a great selection of frames. And as we've said in the past, fast service, free shipping, great for gifts. Mm-hmm. And guess what? Liz, not many things in life give you a happiness guarantee, but Framebridge does. If you're not 100% happy with your piece, they will make it right. So if this
but
sounds like...
But you're going to be happy, okay? And that's just the Satellite Sisters promise. You're going to be out. You're going to be happy you did it.
See why Framebridge has been trusted to frame over 2 million pieces. Visit framebridge.com or see a local Framebridge store to get started and custom frame just about anything, like a Bruce Springsteen set list. That's framebridge.com. Thanks, Framebridge.
Well, it's funny, Leanne, because I have a TV recommendation that will solve all of your problems. A TV show that is the exact opposite of what you just described. And it's the new show that just started this weekend on Netflix. It's the Unbreakable Kimmy Schmidt. Have you read about this at all?
Yes, anyone? I have.
Okay.
No.
This is the number one word to describe this TV show is kooky. It is so kooky. It is so good. It is charming and funny and positive, but kooky. And it has also a great backstory and how it got to there. It is, of course, like, could we love Tina Fey any more than we already do? No. I still have an empty place in my heart where 30 Rock used to be. But now that's where the Unbreakable Kimmy Schmidt is. Tina Fey and her producing partner, Robert Carlock, created Unbreakable Kimmy Schmidt for NBC. And NBC looked at it, thought about it, knew they should like take it, but then just couldn't bring themselves to do it because it was too offbeat and they're trying to like actually attract a wider audience. So Netflix picked it up. So Tina Fey and Robert Carlock got to make it for Netflix. It stars Ellie Kemper, you know, from The Office.
The Office, so cute. The redhead from The Office.
Oh my God, she's so great in this. So basically the story is she has been kept in an underground bunker in Indiana for 15 years. So one of those very dark stories about women that are kidnapped and held prisoner. So in the pilot, in the first episode, you see her getting released from her underground bunker where she's been held with four other women. And they do kind of a media tour. Now there's this media frenzy about the Indiana Mall Women, as they're called. So the Indiana Mall Women are on the Today Show with Leon, your favorite, Matt Lauer. And
that's the perfect role for him as like fake news guy.
Yes.
That's what he is.
Yeah. And anyway, then she just decides she is not going back to Indiana. She is going to stay in New York and she is going to make a life in New York. So it's like, it is like a kooky Indiana mall woman meets Mary Tyler Moore meets That Girl, you know? And so the whole, I watched three episodes last night. And it's all about she's finding an apartment, she's finding a job, she's trying to get a date, you know, just normal stuff. But because she's been underground for 15 years, she doesn't quite have the skill set to do some of this stuff. But she is the world's most super optimistic person. So I totally recommend this show just as an antidote. So many, everything on TV now, so many of the shows have these very dark characters at their heart. And this is just the opposite of that. So Ellie Kemper's in it. Jane Krakowski plays this like totally crazy, like Upper East Side woman that who needs a nanny. Carol Kane, you know her?
She's, oh, gosh, yeah.
Yeah, talk about kooky, kooky. She brings the kooky. She's in there. The co-star, a guy named Titus Burgess, becomes her roommate. Anyway, it's really fun. If you have Netflix, check it out. I would highly, highly recommend it. And, you know, it's got that Tina Fey, like really smart, snappy writing, but it is just positive and fun, but totally unexpected and kooky. Like if if you want to get rid of all of the negative energy that you still have in your body from whiplash, Liam.
My gosh. Yes, I do.
If you're still feeling whiplashed, I recommend Unbreakable Kimmy Schmidt.
Okay.
All right, Liz, that's a good recommendation. I'll check it out.
Yeah, and they're 30-minute episodes, you know, so you can bang through quite a few on a Saturday night home alone, which is what I did. Because even my dog was out last night. So
what was he doing?
I have a little bit of a Ferris update. I mentioned on last week's show that there seemed to be a hunger strike going on with Ferris, that he was sick and he wasn't eating and I wasn't sure what to do. Anyway, this actually brought up kind of a sticky social situation that I want you girls to give me some advice on. So Sunday I said he was pretty sick. By Tuesday morning, it was clear that I needed to take him to the vet. So I call the vet. I make an appointment at the end of the day Tuesday so I can go to work and then come back and get him. And then, yes, my vet is in Malibu. I know that sounds like a totally California thing to say, but my vet is in Malibu. And so that Tuesday morning, I also called Mark the dog walker, you know, who comes in every day in the middle of the day to walk Ferris while I'm at work and cares for Ferris when I travel for work, which, as you know, is quite a bit. So Mark is like, you know, Ferris's co-parent, I would say. And so I called Mark just to say, by the way, I'm taking him to the vet this afternoon, because Mark does sometimes leave me notes that are like, in case you haven't noticed, your dog is very sick, you know, not like that, but you know, he just likes to, he feels very,
he's sharing his concern. Yes. He has a lot of concern. He takes responsibility for
He does. Yes. So I call him to tell him that I'm taking him to the vet, at the end of the day, Tuesday. And he said, great. Can I come with you? And, see, sticky situation of the month, right? So much as I love Mark and Mark loves Ferris, that just seemed, I wasn't sure what to do about that.
Yeah.
You know, but then I thought, Mark really does love Ferris.
Yes, he does.
And Ferris really does love Mark.
Yes.
And Mark, when Ferris was sick 2 years ago, when he first got lymphoma, Mark really helped me take care of Ferris.
Yes.
And nurse him back to health. So I said yes. So I drove home from work. I picked up.
Liz, you live in Malibu. They have people there that have sister wives. So there's no problem with having a dog husband.
I know.
I mean, I'm sure. Yeah. No problem.
Julie, that's totally like we're in the waiting room and there are lots of other combinations of people there. But talk about Jane Krakowski in that TV show. I felt like I looked like a woman who like can't handle caring for her own dog, so needs to bring a dog person with her because it was just too much for me. So that was a little bit awkward, the dog, right? It seems...
Right, and hey, let me say this, and would that... I bet it made Ferris feel better to see the both of you together. Right? Which is probably what Ferris really wants in his life. I mean, you know, a lot of dogs get so nervous when they go to the vet. So to have the two people that care about him the most be there together...
Yeah, I mean, yeah, okay, well... That
maybe he thinks there's a future for you and Mark. He's been trying to bring you together for years.
That could be it. That could be. This is maybe what this whole hunger strike is about.
I think you just need to Google dog husbands or dog spouse.
I had to spend the night last night at the vets. I went up to Malibu this morning to get him back. And now because he's still pretty sick, the only thing he was eating at the vets was the venison this well. Venison, butternut squash, sweet potatoes, Brussels sprouts, Julie, your favorite, and cranberries, all in a kind of mash. This is what Ferris will be dining on tonight. He has rejected all chicken, all beef, all fish, everything except for the venison. So,
well, he was, I guess, hunter at heart, Liz. He's going back to his basic roots.
You know what, Julie? Perhaps. That is actually what one of the people in the vet's office said this morning.
No way.
But she put it this way. She said, why would a terrier eat fish? Like,
at a point.
Like, what were you thinking? There's just nothing in a terrier's DNA. But he does enjoy salmon sometimes. Anyway, so we're going to see how that's going to work out. Maybe the venison will help him feel better. But he's, you know, he's... He appears to be on the mend a little bit. He basically all used the night just focusing on getting rehydrated.
Hydration.
Would love to. Love to plug myself in.
Yeah, just go stay somewhere for the night, hook up an IV, get rehydrated. You're all good to go in the morning. That's what we're dealing with here now. And then we'll see how the venison works out tonight. And hopefully he's on the mend from whatever is in there.
Okay, all I can tell you is please don't Google dog husbands. Okay. You're not.
Oh, okay.
Oh, you did?
Okay. Oh, yeah. I don't do it.
Okay. Now it's irresistible.
Well, then don't have the kids around when you do it.
Oh, okay. Okay.
Yeah. There's, yeah. Is it, yeah.
Oops.
Okay. All right.
Okay.
Just saying. Urban Nana. Don't do that around the baby.
No,
there.
Yeah, oh, yeah. We don't want
at yoga's Heather Palace. I don't want to leave that as part of my email footprint. Okay.
Anyway, so okay. So there we go. What do you guys have going on this week? So now that Downton Abbey is over, by the way, your finale of Downton Abbey was hilarious. It was just I haven't watched a single episode this year, but I kind of feel like it can't be as good as Downton Abbey. So, but like the Tuesday show now, what's, you got a plan?
We're going to work on it. I mean, of course, I think we're going to see Cinderella. Will be our next thing, Leon, the new Disney Cinderella, because two of the main characters from Downton Abbey are appearing in Cinderella. So that will be fun. But we are in search of a new show. Leon has a suggestion, and we'll be taking some suggestions, but you know, we're still, you know, you have to have a kind of a break before you launch right into another show.
Yeah.
Because we make such a commitment to these shows, right, Liam?
We do. We commit to not reading anything about it at all, to have to do no outside research and just commenting off the top of our head. And that is not easy to do. We have Outlander returning in like 6 weeks. So I think that will be a good break for us. But we are keeping our eye on The Royals, the first scripted show on the E! Network, which looks like it's going to be total trash.
Yes.
So, starring Elizabeth, the queen. Speaking of total trash, Elizabeth.
The great actress. The great actress. Elizabeth Hurley.
And I saw a preview on the plane the other day, and I'm telling Julie, it looks good. I think we're... Okay.
It could be our bridge show. I think that's it. Have a great day.
Okay. Everybody have a great day. We're the Satellite Sisters. And don't forget, call your Satellite Sisters.